for First Nations Fiber. Visit fnfiber.com.
The Stars live here.
Are you ready?
On air.
Are you
online.
Are you ready to have a good time?
On your smart speaker and wherever you stream. Broadcasting from Montreal and around the world.
The Jeremy White Show, available wherever you stream.
Catch up on past interviews and episodes on demand now.
Subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
Our next guest is American Idol finalist, a brand new record, well, EP. Is it more like an album? Is it an EP? I mean, it's a collection of songs, right? So do we call it a record?
I mean, you can call it whatever you want. We got 5 songs on there, so it's been stacked.
Okay, so it's an EP, but, I mean, they're power tracks, so we'll just call it, a record.
Yeah.
All right. Brand new record coming out. Turn Off All the Lights, the studio EP coming out on April 26th. Pre-order now wherever we get your music. And of course, the brand new single's out now. Just fantastic. I was just watching the interpretive dance video, which I love, for Sky Up, which is fantastic.
Yes. Yes, I love it.
Welcome to the show for the first time. The one, the only, Haven Madison. How's it going?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So talk a little bit about this journey. I mean, like, here we are post-American Idol, and you're getting ready to release some original music. I mean, well, first of all, the world's already familiar with some of the original stuff with the auditions and everything, but now you're going to be going out and you're going to be releasing 5 original songs on this EP. Talk a little bit about the pressure that comes along with having to write these songs and being in the studio with some of the best professionals in the world. Is it intimidating?
Absolutely. I think for a while I got really good at becoming the person I was supposed to be, depending on the room. So when I was still attending my high school, I was really good at shrinking. So I could lay low and nobody would think that I'd changed or anything had gone to my head since being on the show. But then when I went in these writing rooms, I had to rise to prove that there was a reason I was in there.
Is there a sense of having to prove yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah, there was. And I think in finding the right people and, being able to find myself, it's always very rewarding when I can finish a writing session with these high class writers and they can say, yeah, like there's a reason. And it's amazing because music and songwriting has kind of always just been what I do. And so to be recognized by other very successful people in it is amazing.
Of course, being exposed to music from your dad from an early age, I mean, like, talk a little bit about your love of music though. I mean, like, when did you discover your love for music?
Absolutely. I like to say that I came out of the womb singing. I was always a performer. Because of my dad, and doing music and living on a tour bus for so long, it was the normal, it was what I knew. And I was just so in love with it. I was in love with the tour life and the catering and the venues and the sound checks. And my dad had a riser and me and my brother would just get on it and go up, down. And just, I'm sure we know the crap out of all the crew, but, it was just the life that I loved. And so once I stepped off the tour bus and came home for a little bit, I was I just knew that it was what I wanted. I knew I wanted to go back. And me and my brother talked about how one day we were going to meet on the tour bus again. And now he's my drummer. So it's just kind of always been what I love.
It's pretty awesome to keep it in the family, right? Like,
absolutely.
Then again, they always say never hire family. So who knows how that's going to end?
We bicker. Don't get me wrong. We bicker. But he's sadly really good at what he does. So I can't be like on him about that.
Then you know what? You can complain.
Right.
Talk about the songwriting side of it. So what kind of music were you into growing up? I mean, was it like Christian rock for you? Was it like pop? Were you listening to like the top 40? Are you like into 80s hair metal? Like, who are the songwriting inspirations?
My like catalog of the things I listen to is like a crazy smoothie. It's all over the place.
Which is always awesome though, because you got to pull from the best, right?
Absolutely. I grew up, my dad made sure that I knew ZZ Top and Billy Joel and Rob Thomas, and he made sure that I was educated on that side. And then my mom was like obsessed with Rag & Bone. She wanted me to know Taylor Swift. She wanted me to listen to Aretha.
Oh yeah.
And then my brother is actually really into like darker grunge and metal things. So then I got into kind of Sleep Token because of him. He loves Devin Townsend and all these people. And so I'm very much all over the place, but my heart is in pop. So I grew up listening to Top 40. I was in love with Disney. So I was in love with all the Disney kids music and things like that. And so my music taste goes all over, and I'm from Tennessee. So there's some country in there too.
Right. Well, so when you say like Disney songs, like, was Hannah Montana like still on Disney Channel at the time when you were coming up, or like, were you like, Austin and Allie Disney, or?
All Disney. Hannah Montana was my crap. I still like to say that I'm an off-brand Hannah Montana. I've lived the best of both worlds very long now. So yeah, obsessed with her. I've always, Miley's one of my biggest pop inspirations of all time. And yeah, Austin and Ally, I went to a Next Generation pre-Grammy party when I was in LA, and Laura Murano like walked past me and I was like, there's no way. And I like went up and said hi to her. And so yeah, I was all up in the Disney when I was a kid.
It's funny. If We Were a Movie by Hannah Montana was like one of my go-to karaoke songs just for fun.
At one point. A banger.
Yes. And especially that, the post, like after the chorus, the bam, 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 bam. It's heavy.
Yes. I'm with it. I still, to this day, I listen to Rockstar. I might even be a rock star. I'm yes. like, okay.
Who said? All that
yes.
stuff.
Yes. Yes. And I actually like am constantly rewatching Hannah Montana, and I'm rewatching it right now, just like yes. casually. And the episode where Dolly Parton showed up, I was like, this is just so amazing. You can't outdo Hannah Montana.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Whenever I see her, like people talk about Miley and I'm like, oh, you mean Miles?
Yes.
Like, yes. She's forever God. Miles to me.
Yeah. Forever.
That's great. You know, it's funny though. Like nobody makes like fun, cool pop songs like that anymore. Like rocky sort of stuff. I mean, Olivia Rodrigo sort of doing a little bit of that, but I feel like, you know, that electric guitar sort of disappeared in pop songs for a little bit.
Absolutely. And I'm bringing it back. Yep. Actually, one of my songs came out today. It's called Monster and it is electric heavy. It's a vibe.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, like how do you go from, you know, piano ballad to boom, we got some electric guitars here. Is the label like, what are you doing? You need to stay in your lane.
My poor label. I send them the master songs folder and they're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think being so in love with music itself makes it easy to bounce all over the place. I'm not stuck on a piano. We're stuck on an acoustic. I want to hear these crazy bass licks. I actually did my full EP live for a showcase last night and literally told my band, I was like, find what you love and let's collaborate on it. Yeah. And like my bass player found this like insane lick on the second verse of one of my songs. And so just letting other people come in and be creative. And the writers I'm working with are just amazing artists and players. So I just love music, like I said, because I have such a wide a variety of music that I listen to and music that I love is I'm like, yeah, let's do an almost country sounding song and then let's do an absolute pop banger and then maybe let me rap in this one. Like I'm all over the place, but I think my thread that ties everything together is humanity and a touch of haven.
You know what? That's a good way to put it, because it's like, you know, Shania Twain, she was country, but then her and Mutt, they were like, well, why can't we just bring as many people under the tent as we can? And then you had Man, I Feel Like a Woman, and you had Don't Be Stupid and all these amazing, you know, crossover songs. And it's You want to bring as many customers in, right?
Absolutely. You want consumer obsession. And so I create what I'm obsessed with.
Consumer obsession. That's a great album title.
Oh, yeah.
Haven Madison, brand new song Monster out today. And you can check it out here on 105.5 JYY, the beat of New Hampshire. So stoked to be having her on the show. Check out the full length studio EP, Turn Off All the Lights, coming out on April 26th. You can pre-order it now wherever you get your music. Are you going to do like physical copies of this stuff? Can I get like this on like a vinyl or is it CDs? Or is that obsolete these days for you? Like,
for me, it's not obsolete at all. We've got like 5 or 6 record players in my house. We love some vinyls. So that's a good idea. I need to talk with my team and get some fun vinyls. I definitely would want like a glow in the dark one or something like crazy like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, with the streaming and everything, it's like it doesn't necessarily pay. I mean, like I just had Zach Myers from Shinedown on the show yesterday and he was like, you know, every band that you have that comes on the show, we're essentially glorified T-shirt salesmen these days. He's like, our music isn't making money. He's like, the touring economics are insane. So it's like, you know, for an artist like you up and coming, you know, just making it in there. It's like, where is it the touring for you? That's where like you're making the bank. Is it on the merch? Is it like I said, you know, the vinyl records? Like what is the business side of it for you?
Yeah, that's honestly a refreshing question that somebody is paying attention to that as well, because it is part of the music that nobody really sees is like, hey, we actually have to be able to pay our bills as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I haven't actually done a full tour yet. I'm really excited to do that run. So hopefully there's going to be a run in the fall. But again, all of it is based on consumers and how much they love it. And so honestly, a lot of creators nowadays, especially up and coming, we're making it from our social media. That's the best we can do right now. Yeah. And from people supporting and getting our merch. I'm big into fashion, so I try to make super fun, versatile merch that people would enjoy. So you don't have to love the music to love the shirt. And so honestly, I would say the biggest thing people can do to support is follow my social media. And, you know, if they're willing and want to get like a merch shirt or, you know, post about the song, is the more people that see it is the more that I can come and, you know, come to your city and do a show. It has to be based on streams and if people love it or not.
Yeah. Ideally, I mean, like, you want to try and hop on, like, a big pop tour later this year. Like, it's going to be the support thing, obviously. But, like, what's your ideal tour to, like, hop on?
Oh, gosh. There's so many. Ideally, I would love to open for a big pop artist. I am obsessed with Tate McRae, and I know she's doing a run with The Fall. Yeah. I think it'd be crazy to be able to open for Tate. I think that'd be super fun. Obsessed with Conan Gray. I think he's incredible, and he almost has these like 80s elements that I'm told I have. So I think that would be a super fun collab. If Sabrina Carpenter goes on tour again, I would literally break my right arm to go with her. I think she's incredible. One of my biggest inspirations, and she has been since she was a Disney kid. I think she's always been amazing, and I'm glad she's getting the hype she deserves.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Especially Tate McRae, I mean, like, fellow Canadian, I mean, like, she's a good old Calgary kid. It's like, she's just, like, awesome. As talk about somebody that's bringing electric guitars back into pop music. I mean, like, geez, she's doing it right.
She's bringing the Britney back, and I love it. I literally watched her on So You Think You Can Dance. I've always been a fan of Tate's.
Being on American Idol, does that sort of sandbox you into being sort of this TV starlet, and it kind of takes away from, you know, your identity in a sense where you, like, I guess I'm trying to say, like, in the sense, like, does it sandbox you into people think that you're just, like, the TV person, but then, like, they get to know the real you as an artist? Like, are you allowed to be Haven Madison, or you have to be something that the label says you have to be? You know, going back to the influence
I
stuff.
Love these questions you're asking. I'm loving it. I think it is definitely, when you're in American Idol, it is a TV show at the end of the day. And so they definitely, they wanted me to dress younger, and they wanted me to be the girl next door, which I was.
Right.
And so it, I had no problem, and I loved it. And
so you had the narrative. You had a storyline. You're like, okay, you have to be this person, and...
Yeah, I mean, they never said it out loud, but you can kind of tell as you watch the show as it comes out. You're like, okay, so this is the character I'm being painted as. And thankfully, I'm lucky enough to where the character I was painted as was who I was.
Yeah.
And so I was just young, ambitious, loved pink. I loved tennis shoes and got to just be myself. But I think probably the biggest struggle was I auditioned with a song called 15 and was so young during the show that it almost created this stigma when I got off the show. I started wearing the clothes I loved, doing my makeup how I wanted, and my comments were like, the show business is taking her and she's going crazy. And I was like, no, I just actually never promised to be 15 forever. I'm 18 now. I'm going to grow and you can come with me or you can unfollow.
Yeah.
And thankfully my label is incredible. They're amazing people. I have an amazing team around me and they absolutely want me to go. They time and time again, the head of BMG North America tells me the next global, you know, pop star, the next global superstar. And so to be that, I have to do what I love and do what I'm passionate about. And so definitely I think I've probably lost a few people who have followed along with me from American Idol because I'm growing up, but I'm becoming who I am and I'm really proud of it.
You see it, they're like, sell out.
Yes, some of my comments are insane. They're like, I wore this like fun eye makeup look for one of my pictures and one of my comments was like, she's not a Christian, she renounced her Christianity. I was like, whoa,
come on.
I was like, I love the Lord and eye makeup too.
Yeah. Why can't you love both? Like, yeah, it's right. Satanic to have some wingtips on your makeup. Like, really?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Haven Madison's on the show. She's announcing her devotion to Satan himself.
Oh my God, no.
That's amazing though. But you know what? That must suck though, especially because, like, you know, you're 18. It's like you're being subjected to all this, like, you know, potential hate. It's like you kind of expose yourself to that. Regardless, but it's like being in the public eye in a sense, it opens it up to even more of that. And you know,
I'm sure. Absolutely. I think being on a show that was literally had judges, people thought that they could express their opinion at all times.
Yeah.
I got a lot of comments, I got a lot of messages, but I know who I am. I know my relationship with the Lord is between me and him.
Yeah.
And just being firm and strong in my foundation of who I am and what I love and what I'm here for, I kind of just let things roll off my back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, you're in Hollywood. I mean, you signed your life away, so what more do you want?
Right.
Haven Madison, you got to pre-order this amazing EP. It's coming out on April 26th, Turn Off All the Lights. Of course, a brand new single, Monster, and a music video. It's just fantastic. Got to go check it out. Streaming. Get those streaming numbers up so we get her on a tour and go pick up her merch. Got to buy a rock t-shirt to support the band.
Oh, yeah.
So what else is going on with you? I mean, like, what do you do during the day? Like, you're just, like, hanging out and, like, writing songs? Or, like, do you have a day job, too, still? Or, like...
Yeah, I am a full songwriter. So usually I live in Clarksville, Tennessee, which is 45 minutes north of Nashville. So I wake up, I go work out, I get in my car, I drive to Nashville, and I write songs. I go and I write and I work and I do meetings and one session a day, a double, it doesn't matter. I'm just writing and working and doing what I love. And maybe I have a show, maybe I have a rehearsal, a meeting. I'll fly to LA for a week, I'll fly to New York for a week and going all over the place, but just chasing after it and working as hard as I can in every aspect, not just songwriting, in my live show, in my merch. I It's a big ship, what I do. There's a massive ship, and I know the only spot for me is behind the wheel. And so I continue to, I want my hand in the merch. I'm designing it. I want my hand in the tour. I'm helping plan it. I'm picking options. I want my hand in the set. I'm set designing, and I want to see the lights. I want to see the backdrop. I want the setup. I want my hand in. Hey, I want this base.
Well, it's your brand. It's your identity at the end of the day, right? So you want to be able to control a little bit of that.
Yeah, and so what's so amazing is my team is so supportive of that. My label is supportive of my my vision, and they love that I have a vision. They continue to say that in a positive connotation, and so I just think that I'm just blessed with the amount of people around me and the support I'm receiving.
Talk a little bit about your songwriting. So I've interviewed a lot of songwriters on this show. Everybody from, you know, Desmond Child to literally like Shania Twain, Luke Bryan, like guys like that. And like
Desmond, I met him a couple weeks ago. He's amazing.
Oh, he's a legend. I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time, you know?
And absolutely.
And he told me that his songwriting process always stems from a really strong song title. You know, You Give Love a Bad Name, or Living on a Prayer, or stuff like that, or I Was Made for Loving You. And then you kind of build off from there. And then some other songwriters, they'll say, oh, I just, you know, thought of like a sentence and then I built off that, or a melody. So from you and your perspective, like this, like modern pop songwriting, I mean, like what's the biggest difference from something like that? I mean, like what's your process?
Yeah, I think I go all over the place. Sometimes I do have just a title and I'm like, I know this is the title of a song. Let's chase the concept down. Sometimes I write poetry and it gives me the idea and then I can help form a title from that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I find a part on guitar that I really like and I'm like, okay, let's put something over it.
Mm-hmm.
I literally go in all different directions and all different ways. It kind of depends on the room I'm with, on the vibe I'm in. And sometimes I come in and I already have a whole, you know, chorus written and I'm like, hey, y'all want to help me finish it? It just depends on the song, but I'm not closed-minded to anything. Sometimes we write our choruses backwards. Like, we'll do anything to get the song the right way, and it's fun. It's super fun. I love that it's never the same.
What do you mean by write your chorus backwards?
Yeah, so in a session a couple weeks ago, I had a title idea, and the hook was, My Heart's Not Broken, It's Dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And so we literally started with that, which was the hook of it, and we started writing piece by piece backwards. So we wrote the chorus backwards. And then we wrote the verse backwards. And then we had the full verse and chorus. So then we could go into the back half of the song.
Wow.
So we do all sorts of weird things. Songwriters are some pretty strong-minded and genius people.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, a producer on some of this stuff. I mean, David's just amazing, right? I mean, like, who are some of the guys that you're working with, like writing? And, like, is there, like who are the people in the songwriting, in, like, the writing rooms these days that you're working with? Are you working with like Dan Hoff and like people like that in Nashville or like?
yeah. I'm all over the place. I work a lot with Dave. I think he's incredible. He's an amazing writer, Grammy nominated, and a great guy. He's a fun hang. He's a fun hang. You'll never be bored.
Yep.
So I think he's amazing. I have a lot of cuts with Mary Cutter. She's like a new writer. She's on the same publisher as me. She's country, but she's just a fun time.
Yeah.
You're always going to laugh and have fun when you're with Mary. And so I've got some fun people. I'm bouncing all over the place. And I also have people on my bucket list. I have Steph Jones I want to get a write with, and I actually have it on the books, which is absolutely insane.
Hell yeah. Manifesting it.
You know, I get to check that off in a couple of weeks. And then I worked with Diane Warren when I was in LA, which was absolutely insane.
How was that?
It was incredible. She's an amazing writer. She's so cool. Her studio is probably the coolest building I've ever been in my entire life. So it was a fun time.
How does that songwriting session work? I mean, like, do you come in with a concept, or does she have an idea and she's like, okay, I'm Diane Warren. Just follow my lead here. Like, or is it like
she
a real
Diane Warren? She is Diane Warren. She's also very specific. So in tracking of vocals, she has the exact variation she wants. And so she's very particular. But it was really challenging and really fun. It was cool to hear her variations and things that I would have never found or sang, but in learning them, it was really, really cool.
Is that like it's funny, like when you think about that stuff, like songwriters like her or Mutt Lang or Desmond, they talk about melodic math and you want like, you know, consonants and like syllables to line up and all these things. Is it that scientific when you're writing with a songwriter at that level, or is it more of like the creativeness?
You know, it at the end of the day, it's creatives. At the end of the day, it's creatives. But we also know what sounds right and what scratches your brain at the right spot. So sometimes we're writing and there's internal rhymes. So maybe I'll be like, hey, if we change this one word, then there's an internal rhyme and it just tweaks it to make it perfect. Or, hey, if we change this pronoun, then all of a sudden it flows better and it's more relatable. So there's math to it and there's music theory. you know, maybe we don't want to start on a one in the chorus. We want to start on a four. And so we're always tweaking and moving and trying weird things. And sometimes we hate it. And sometimes it's amazing. But that is what, you know, there's so many songs in the world. And constantly I'm asked, how have we not run out yet? And it's because of the math and the science of music, because we know how to make things different over and over again. We know how to take the same four chords and add inversions on every single one and make it new.
Yeah. At the end of the day, there's 12 notes is what you do with it.
Yep, absolutely.
And I mean, when you're working with songwriters at that level, I mean, like, you just kind of want to be a sponge, right? And just soak up everything that they're telling you.
Absolutely. I just want to learn. And I, me and Desmond talked about getting in a room together. And so definitely want to learn from the greats. And also, I, you know, I'm not afraid of saying what I want. I'm not afraid of saying I like these kinds of things. And, you know, like good. I said, I can't be the best in every room I'm in, but I know I'm the hardest worker. So I want to learn from them, and I want to take what I've learned and move everywhere and go all over the place. And like you said, just soak it all up.
Yeah. You got to be confident. You got to go in there and be like, listen, I am the shit.
You definitely, especially with live shows, you have to go on stage and basically be take it or leave it.
Yep.
Which is an interesting mindset you got to tap into. And that's what I think is funny, is Tate McRae has her little alter ego. She calls it like Tatiana. I haven't named mine yet, but I think most artists, at least for us too, I know, is we literally have to tap into almost a different person, a different kind of energy.
Oh, yeah. Especially anytime I've ever gone on stage, like, you know, like host an event or like do something with the band. It's just like all of a sudden the switch goes off and it's like, I'm like, hello, Cincinnati. Like,
you know? Absolutely. You turn something on. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
We'll never get it all the way in a rehearsal. There's something about the audience. It flips a switch.
Yeah. No, completely. When you go out and tour, are you going to be doing like, are you going to have a full live band, or are you going to play to the Pro Tools rig and have tons of playback, or you want to pull this stuff live like 100%?
I love a live. I have an amazing team. We love tracks. We love building fun layers. I've got actually.
There's a real art to that, guys. You know?
Oh, yeah. The guys that built my tracks for my showcases were Lecrae's track builders, and they're phenomenal. And so they added some fun jazz. And so we take these tracks and we add fun jazzes here and there.
Sweet.
To go with our cues and our click. And then I tell my band, hey, like, find the most insane stuff you can and let's go. And so it's super fun. And my background vocalist is just bad to the bone. She's incredible. She finds these crazy things. And so I can sing live and enjoy every moment, and it's jazzed up because I'm filled with talent, and just around me there's so many talented people
that inspires, like, you, right? Like, it gets you going.
The energy last night at my first showcase was bonkers. I literally was jumping around going nuts. My bass player's got like dreads. He was like totally doing the headbang thing.
Yes.
He's like a metal player to heart, and so he's got these crazy it was nuts. And it was like we were making a new song.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. You know, it's good to hear that, because it's like, you know, musicians having chemistry, there's no greater drug on the planet.
Oh, absolutely. We went and did hot yoga the morning of yesterday. We were like, we're going to go do some team hot yoga. We're going to ground ourselves, and then we're going to absolutely shred.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the way to do it. I love hearing this. This is great. Haven Madison, go and pre-order the EP. Turn off all the lights. Hopefully we'll get some vinyl at some point, which is exactly what we need. Because listen, you know what I always say? These bands, these artists, they put out the singles and the EP. I'm like, listen, I can't go to the show and get my Apple Music signed. You can't sign my Spotify.
Real.
You know? We need the CD. We need the vinyl. We need the cassette.
Yes, the Walkman. Oh, my God.
Anyways, thanks a lot for taking some time to chat. Appreciate it. Love the new song, and looking forward to the EP coming out. And just wishing you all the best of luck and success. This is so fun. I'm sure we're going to do this again at some point. You're going to be Grammy nominated, and you're going to be too big for me.
No, never. This was a vibe. I'll be back.
The Jeremy White Show.
Get exclusive interviews and bonus content on demand now. Visit youtube.com/Jeremy White Show.